Yes, we are back. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Brian, welcome back. Glad to have you back here. I'm doing well. I got to mention this first thing. Did you see what happened in Nebraska last night?
Did I see what happened in Nebraska last night? Joe, this might surprise you.
No.
No, I did not see what happened in Nebraska.
If I asked you, what event do you think sold out a 92,000 seat stadium?
Oh, you should have been more generic. Like, what would have possibly happened in Nebraska that you would start a show by asking, did you see what happened in Nebraska last night?
So if I told you they shoved 92,003 people into their stadium last night, what event do you think it was?
The National Corn Husking Championship.
No. 92,003 people at the Nebraska women's volleyball game is a women's sport world record.
But they played at the football stadium?
They put the court on the football stadium, sold the place out. It was an awesome show. Hats off to them. That was great. Broke the record at the stadium, and they have college football starting tomorrow. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Am I supposed to be surprised by?
I mean, they're the first to do it. That was the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you're in the middle of Nebraska. You're in a college town where everyone, it's the only event going on. You put a big event in the stadium, like, so everyone's going to go.
So if Ohio State did it, you'd be more impressed because it's a bigger city. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just think any college does that, any major college does that, that's the response you're going to get.
You think UB could do it?
No, any major, like, sporting college does that. Like, that's the response you're going to get.
I'd go.
Is this, like, this is why I hate 2023. It's because I am, like, expected to know what happened in Nebraska last night. Why did I care?
I actually didn't expect you to. I didn't expect you to know. I thought it was cool. And as a college sports fan, I think it's really cool. And I'm glad it's getting the.
It is cool.
Obviously, it's not getting the attention I thought it was getting. But I'm happy it's getting the attention that it's getting in the college sports community.
Isn't that, like, the thing of 2023 of, like, the modern age is.
I think it's
something
cool.
Happens somewhere and, like, everyone knows about it, but, like, why do I know about this? This just polluted. This just knocked out the first day of calculus by, like, whatever the heck is going on. 5 million bees swarming the road in Toronto.
I think it's cool. I love my college football. I love my college basketball. But I think putting this focus on other college sports and, I mean, getting fans really into it as they were yesterday, really cool to see. And just wanted to point that out. On the day that that's happening, my alma mater is calling it quits.
I think, though, that we should start every show like that. I love starting the show like that.
Stump Brian on a
just,
big story?
No, like, just you. Did you see what happened in blank? The answer will always be no, but then I have to guess.
So now I gotta keep focus on the Midwest?
I don't think you need to go that far. Anything an hour outside of here
okay,
like, is fair game.
I love it. I will. I'll do that.
Did you see what happened? If you were talking about the latest update in the Chicago White Sox thing, like, yes, that is a baseball story. I'm now paying very close attention to
it. I know you're on top of that.
But other than that, Joe, I wasn't here yesterday. I know you were talking storm in Florida yesterday. And I wanted to just follow that up a little bit with taking some calls and insight from people who are dealing with this. You know, we talk about this a lot. I think we've talked about this before on the show. Our boss talks about this a lot. But just that decision, when you're moving to Florida, that you are inevitably, like, kind of signing up to deal with some form of this, right? Like, not everybody's living on the coast, obviously. Like, you're not necessarily, like, dealing with the brunt of a storm surge or something. But this type of tropical storm and weather, when you move down there, it is, like, it's a possibility. It's one, at least one tropical, you know, doesn't have to be a hurricane, but, like, one major storm like this a year? I mean, is that what we're talking about? Might not hit you, but, or you're feeling the remnants of a major storm or something like that.
You are at some point in that cone of uncertainty if you live in certain areas of this country. Yes, you might be like Tampa and 2 years in a row dodge the major bullet, but if you're living along, you know, the coast of the Gulf or of the Atlantic, at some point in hurricane season, you're in that cone.
But there's a couple of stories out there that I want to hear from listeners on. I just want to hear their experience, I feel like it'll help us understand our listeners a little bit more, Joe. And the first is on this storm, because I know we have a lot of people who have lived in different places, who have maybe moved to different places. You know, you're originally from Western New York, now you're somewhere else.
Own property?
Own property, a vacation home, something like that. And it doesn't have to be in Florida. It could be in Nebraska. But when I think about places...
My summer home in Nebraska.
Yeah. It sounds peaceful.
Yeah.
When I think about places to live, I know I'm a homer for saying this. I really do think Buffalo is up there. And it sounds crazy to say right after our blizzard. But all things considered, like, it is such a great place to live that I wonder if people are thinking, like, when I think about moving to Arizona, Arizona is another very popular retirement place. Arizona is a place that gets talked about. I know there's a lot of Western New York transplants there. They have a Ted's. Yep. They have Buffalo Pizza in Arizona.
Yeah.
At a couple, like, it's made the trip out there because there's so many people who have moved out there. I hear stories of people who lived in Arizona, grew up there, and it's like they can't play in their backyard without, you know, keeping an eye out for snakes.
Yeah. Also, there's parts of Arizona that you don't have grass in your yard.
But like that kind of stuff, though, like, would absolutely play into my decision to move to somewhere or to not move to somewhere.
What sounds worse, though? This is for you. Say you have to go. Say the woman from the White Sox game is here, and she's forcing you to go to either Arizona or Florida.
Yeah.
What one would you settle for?
Well,
they both have their negatives.
Yeah.
They both have their positives. But what one would you settle for?
I really don't know. I mean, I guess Florida. Disney's right there.
Yeah, I'm going.
I don't know.
I'm going panhandle, northern panhandle of Florida, where there's less snakes, less alligators.
Less snakes, less alligators. Yeah. That would be key.
I would rather you tell me I have to sit through a Cat 2 hurricane than the threat of a snake slithering into my house.
Well, they're all over Florida, too.
What are?
Snakes.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to say the least snaked place.
But that kind of stuff does... I think about it a lot. Like, you go out on the West Coast. I like the warm weather. It's nice. But...
Earthquakes.
Well, earthquakes, but then, you know, it's always warm. And the wildfires, and, you know, it's 90 degrees every single day. 90 degrees every single day, I get sick of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just the type. I know some people wouldn't. I would kind of get sick of that.
After one warm week, I thought yesterday was awesome. I'm asking for another day like yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I am.
I'm right there with you. I agree. I don't know. Maybe it's me being biased. Maybe it's just me. You don't know it until you've tried it. But people who have moved out of Western New York, or you're thinking of doing it, or maybe your parents have moved. What was it that got them out? That brought them to Florida or some of these other places where you have this possibility. Like, to me, we don't have to really worry about any of that. And the blizzard stuff, maybe it's just having lived through it, and maybe you say the same thing if you're down there and you've seen the hurricane warning flash around on TV, or the tornado warning, or whatever it is, a flash fire advisory. I just don't see it as being as bad as some of these other things that we do. We're not talking about mass property destruction usually.
Right.
When we're talking about these blizzards that we deal with here.
No, when I think mass property destruction in Buffalo, I mean, I look back to it, and I'm obviously every snowstorm, something happens, right? But when we're talking mass, we're talking snow when trees still had leaves back in October of 06. That was 17 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really, has there been an event that was that produced as much damage? I mean, there are still neighborhoods that are completely different because the trees are down. I mean, the street I grew up on,
don't grow fast.
but there are so many less trees. I mean, it changed the landscape of the drive down certain streets. That was 17 years ago. This hurricane, if it had wiggled anymore, could have hit a spot that got hit last year by a hurricane.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Major property damage, too. Like, that, it's just something we don't really have to put up with here. That I wouldn't trade for nicer weather. Like, that's just me speaking. But I like to hear from people if that is you. 803-0930 on the show today. 803-0930. You can text us or call us on WBEN.
Yeah, I mean, Hurricanes, you know, I have an obsession with following them. I've always said I hope WBEN sends me to a hurricane one day. I'd love to report from like a Cat 1, Cat 2, just to get a different perspective. But for me,
if we're sending you to a hurricane, we're not sending you to Category 1.
No, I know.
I'm just saying,
it will never, don't you ever just have thoughts that you know will never happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's one of them. But when I think of like Florida and what freaks me out, we're my parents are actually taking all of us as a Christmas gift to Florida in February. And the number one thing I'm thinking of is the snakes and the gators. I mean, that's when I don't think of the hurricanes. I think of the snakes. And there's no hurricanes in February, but you get my point. Like the snakes and the gators are the things that I'm like every
last I don't think you have to worry about that on vacation.
Last time I was in Florida, I was helping my buddy move in 2018. And, I mean, there were just geckos all over the place. They're crawling on my feet. I mean, that's a gecko. But that's just one type of reptile. They're running into the house. You have to close the door quick. You have to put a phone book on the toilet when you go on vacation because things might slither up the toilet. These are the things that would scare me away much more than a hurricane. And I love Florida. I love the vacation aspect of Florida. I love South Beach. I love everything about Florida. But it's the wildlife that just concerns me.
Yeah, no, I'd be right up there with you. A concern that we don't...
I mean, I don't get my car washed right now because of it.
I mean, it smells like skunk every now and then, but, you know, so does everywhere with the marijuana laws changing. So,
even the U.S. Open.
Yeah, what are you going to do? We don't have to deal with that here in Western New York. So that's one you can weigh in on. Like, if you have moved, if you're thinking about moving, what's made you there? All that stuff.
Or tell us if we're so wrong about the reptiles. I would like to hear that. Like, oh, you don't see them as much once you're here. You kind of get used to it, right? I mean, and we are talking to someone that when I lived in Orchard Park, all summer there'd be frogs because there was a pond, frogs all over the place, and that freaked me out. So just tell me, like, do you get used to it?
I'm wondering if for people who live in those areas, it's the same way that we look at Canadian geese.
Okay. I mean, but the worst of the Canadian geese is it's going to poop on you.
Right, but like that's pretty bad. Like they're just, I can't take a run without stepping in.
Oh yeah,
geese poop.
I can't walk into work without stepping in the geese poop.
Right, like, and they're everywhere. Yeah. And if you go near them, they're nasty.
Yeah,
like that's. I wonder if that's probably the same way. But we don't. You know, I'm not thinking about them every day. I'm only thinking about them when I'm like playing hopscotch, trying to run, you know, down by the water in the Tonawandas because it's all filled with geese poop. But we don't think about it everywhere every day. I'm sure it's probably the same there. This is the other story, Joe, that I'm interested in people. This is Amazon employees have been pushing back against the company's return to the office policy for months, I guess. And the CEO has had enough. During this pre-recorded internal Q&A session earlier this month, Andy Jassy told, we think of the CEO still as Bezos. He's not anymore. Remember, he gave that up like a couple years ago.
Yes.
Andy Jassy is the CEO. He told corporate employees it's past the time to commit to the policy, which requires employees to be in the office at least 3 days a week. He signaled those who can't might be risking their jobs at Amazon, his comments reported by Business Insider. His quote, Amazon CEO says, quote, it's probably not going to work out for employees who defy the return to office policy. I like the quote. Sounds like Lundberg, right, in Office Space. Yeah, could you come in on a Saturday? It's probably not going to work out for you, which makes sense, though. Like, but somehow this has become news, right? In 2023, I have to know what's going on in Nebraska, and I have to be surprised when you have a boss say, like, hey, yeah, if you don't show up for work, it's probably not going to work out here. And, like, that's a controversial policy.
Yeah.
Like, that's mind-blowing from where you were just 3 years ago.
I love that companies are finally starting to say, hey, your calendar still says March 2020. Get back in the office.
Yeah, well, we love it because we have to come in every day.
Yeah.
And we want everyone else to be miserable, too.
And we also had to come in during the pandemic. Like,
But I, what I want to know here from people, I just want to know how you work. Like, how do people work? We talk about the return to office, the not return to office, like what people are doing. And I feel like I don't really have a great grasp on what people are actually doing. So I would like to know from people, and this is 803-0930, what are you doing?
Well, we hear less people are downtown. That's why Bray Miller needed money.
Well, I could tell I was downtown yesterday. I had a hard time finding a parking spot, so there must be some people down there.
Yeah, I mean, what did the return to work look like, and what's it now? Are you in the office every day? Are you at home every day?
But even after that, are you working from home? Have you always worked from home, or is that a new thing as of 2020? Are you at an office? Are you on a job site? Are you working construction? Maybe you work in a new place every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What is your office? Everyone has their own office. Are you out in a telephone line right now? Are you mobile 100% of the time? Is your job just driving around place to place?
And your desk is your passenger seat.
What is your office, quote unquote, that Amazon's trying to get people to return to? Because I'd like to know. I'd just like to get a feel, a read of the room right now of who we're talking to, of where exactly you're working, and has it always been that way, or has it changed significantly in the last 3 years?
And for those of you that work from home, I'd like to, what do you think about the CEO? What if your employer said, hey, there's an office, you're not in it, get back there? What would your reaction be? Would you push back?
I think there's an easy disconnect. And what you're seeing here with these big companies that want workers to return to their offices, and they do like desk jobs behind computers, and workers say, because here's my read of the situation.
All right.
If you're an employee there, you say, why would I do that? I'm doing all the work I normally do at the office. I'm getting it done in a shorter amount of time, and it's much better for me to be here. Like, I'm able to maybe see my kids off to the bus, where I had to take them somewhere before and then go to the office, and they took the bus, you know, from a daycare or something like that, or had to have somebody come over to be able to do that, or just little things like that that you're able to do. You have the more freedom to work from home. And that's how you see it, as somebody who works there. You take, you know, in this case, it's the CEO, or, you know, whoever the boss is, whoever the big picture person is, and you're running the company and you're trying to think about the future direction of the company, and you're going, well, wait a second. It's about more than just the work, right? Like, that's what you're thinking. Okay, it's fine. You got the work done that needs to be done. But my idea for Amazon, Tesla, whatever it is where they're forcing people to come back, is not just to have a bunch of ants doing one job and doing that forever. You want people to grow within the company. You want them to learn what other jobs are like. You can't do that if you're just only focused on yourself at home. You want ideas to flow. Maybe, you know, great ideas start in one department, or right now nobody's
in that
working
department.
You know, they're all at home, and nobody hears any of these ideas because it's not going through. You know, oh, we meet on Zoom. Well, come on, half the people aren't paying attention. Half the time everyone's talking over each other, and you can't understand anything on a Zoom meeting. So like, from their perspective, they're saying it's not just about, can I get X, Y, and Z done between 9 and 5? It's about something a little bit more that they feel they get out of it.
They're noticing something missing, and it might not be the work you're producing, but it's something else that was there when everyone was together. I think that makes a lot of sense.
And I think,
again,
you,
as someone who wouldn't know, to me that makes sense.
And I think you need to do a better job of explaining that to everybody who is expected to come back, maybe. So where are you right now? Where are you working? And where are you in terms of location? If you're moving from, you've moved from Buffalo, a hurricane, maybe it's lizards like Joe, maybe it's just everything else that I'm not used to dealing with, like me. What would determine where you move to? 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
It's BMAZ and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, someone, this is a personal question. I have YouTube TV. We used to get the NFL Red Zone channel. Do I still get that, or do I have to buy this new Sunday ticket to get the Red Zone channel?
I'm going
to
say it's just like DirecTV. Again, I don't know this, but the way I'm reading this, just like DirecTV, and when DirecTV had it. Now DirecTV has the Red Zone channel, but they have their own Red Zone that goes with the ticket, and you have to have the package to get the Red Zone. And according to Google's support here, you can get NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube Premium for $3.99 or bundle it with NFL Red Zone for $40 more. That makes me believe it's not going to be part of a sports pack.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate.
I don't know why they would do that. I just don't get it.
Joe, I don't get a lot of things. We were having this conversation during the break because it drives me nuts that I can watch basically any live sporting event, period. Right? Like anything. I have every German, Italian, English soccer game live ready to go. I have every NHL game ready to go. I can watch every football game I want to watch. Anything I want, it's right there. MLS, a little bit different this year because I haven't bought the Apple subscription yet. Maybe I will.
$90?
I can watch everything except for the Buffalo Sabres.
Isn't that crazy? That's absolutely crazy.
Like, how does this work? How did I find myself in this situation?
You would think, like, sports teams like the Sabres that, you know, Dish Network hasn't had the Sabres for over a decade. You would think the Sabres would say, hey, guess what? We're coming out with an app, and, you know, blank a month, you can watch our games on the app. They produce their games. I think that would be a moneymaker, and it would probably save people money because some people would probably go to a lower package on their cable. Or get rid of cable altogether.
Yeah, that's a conversation for another day.
Because the Bills are on the end. The NFL has it right. If your team's playing, it has to be over the air. And especially with streaming now.
And it's nice.
Yeah. A lot of people, their only live channels they have are the antenna because they just watch
it's
stuff.
It's like when people were freaking out last year that, in the Bills, the Thursday night football game, it's only on Amazon. Like, no. It is always going to be on broadcast TV.
Yep.
If you live here in Western New York.
It's a great rule.
Like, you don't have to worry about any of that. I mean, if you want to watch the other games, you will have to get that. But if you want to watch the Bills, you'll be able to watch the Bills. Doesn't matter what channel or streaming or anything. They will be on TV.
December 23rd against LA. I don't have Peacock. Doesn't matter. It'll be on a broadcast station.
Like, that is nice to have.
Yeah.
I wish more places would do that. Anyways. I was thinking about this because the Sabres national TV was announced yesterday, the football season starting, trying to figure out what we're going to do with TV for the upcoming year. I don't know. It's a whole conversation. It never happened. You know, for like 30 years, people would just have their same cable bill.
Oh, my gosh. For since cable was invented. I move into a house. I get this cord, plug the cord into the wall, into my TV. Those are the channels you get.
Yeah.
Right. If wherever you live, the cable company that's offered, that's what you get. When we lived in Hornell, you had 30 channels. That's what the cable company offers. That's what you get. And now it's, you know, it's not just the dishes. It's the streaming. It's
you got
everything.
All this junk.
And then even within the junk, right? Even within the provider, you've got, you know, five packages you have to pick from. And there's nothing in, unless you get the premium package, there's always something missing. You always have to make a sacrifice. It's ridiculous.
All right. Anyways, we were asking you before the break a couple of questions. One about moving out of Western New York. You know, why would you do it? And what goes into that thinking of where you move to? Right? Like so many people move to Florida. We mentioned Arizona, too. You know, so many people move out to Arizona. The Carolinas are becoming more and more a popular destination for this. But why do you move, and why do you choose where you move to? Maybe you're just thinking about this now. You're entering the age near retirement and thinking, down here wouldn't be all that bad, or over here. You know, why is it that no one moves out of Buffalo and you hear them move to Nebraska, Joe? Like, I never hear of too many, like, people who are moving out of Buffalo and going to Texas. Right? Like, you never really hear that much.
Our friend Carl, who calls in every now and then. But, yeah, you're right. It's not as... I mean, when you hear people moving, now it's like, I'm going to Florida. I'll be in Florida.
It's always there.
I mean, I don't even hear Arizona that much. I hear Florida or Vegas.
I feel like Arizona's more and more. That's up and coming, and maybe it's just because they have Teds there.
Because when I think of Arizona, I always think of Southern Ontario. Like people from Ontario moving to Arizona.
Yes.
Usually now, like people our age that are leaving Buffalo, almost exclusively are going to Florida.
Carolinas.
Oh, and the Carolinas. Yes.
Carolinas.
Raleigh, North Carolina is like Buffalo South.
Raleigh, Durham area.
Yep.
And there's probably a lot of communities that would say...
They're Buffalo South.
that it's like X South, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I'm sure if you went over to Syracuse, like they're all saying the same thing down there. But like, where is it, and why do you pick that? And then, where are you working? If you're working, you know, that's for everyone who's nearing retirement. For everyone still working, where are you working right now? Are you in an office? Do you work on the road? Maybe you work on a job site that changes periodically. Maybe you've always worked from home. Maybe you work from home and that's a new thing. What do you do? 803-0930 to join us, either give us a call or send a text in here. We have a few people who say that they've been working from home since March of 2020 and really don't have that many plans to go back. Someone said they go in once a month.
Yeah.
Well, why?
They said maybe twice. Maybe they miscounted.
Yeah.
Once or twice a month. I thought this was interesting about M&T, letting their employees stay home 3 days a week. But M&T is also consolidating space. So it's, you know, if we worked a desk job, Brian, it'd be, you know, Joe's desk so many days a week and Brian's desk the 2 days he's there.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's sharing a cube with another person.
Yeah. You just be careful what you put in the search engine.
Yeah, I'm probably not leaving anything at that cube. But I think that's very interesting that they're doing it that way. So they're saying, fine, you want to work from home so many days, we want you in the office X amount of days, find a cube partner.
But I'm just thinking, like, work from home is, you know, this quote-unquote new phenomenon. But not really. Like, a lot of people work from home already. Now, more people do now, in a different type of person works from home now maybe than did before. But... a lot of people were working from home before.
Yeah, I think definitely the internet created a lot of at-home jobs, created a lot of places to be able to let their employees work from home. The pandemic, I think, just blew it up. But yeah, you've always had people. I mean, my dad didn't have an office he went to every day. He worked out of the house and out of his car. You know what I mean? I mean, that was most I remember is my dad, you know, working out of his car at home. It wasn't an office every day. And there are so many jobs like that. I mean, you see people that go and call, what's the word I'm looking for? Call on clients, right? You're a salesperson. Mm-hmm. You're not usually in the office.
You
set up a plan at home and you go boom, boom, boom. You don't have time to be in the office. You're selling stuff.
There's jobs where I can imagine, like, so many people, every time you talk about work from home, and they're kind of going like, well, what are you talking about? Like, how would I work from home? Because I'm actually doing something here.
Yeah.
Like, whether you're making something or you're working in some, like, a service industry or something like that, like, there are jobs that just literally cannot be done anywhere but where you go to do them.
Right.
Like, so the whole work from home discussion almost sounds silly to those people.
Most doctors can't work from home, but they do have teledoc. So some
do. Yes, yes. We'll go to Norma in Tonawanda. Norma, you're on WBEN. Are you thinking about moving from Western New York, Norma? We'd hate to see you leave.
Yes. I've been thinking about that for years. And I always said that, and the reason I would leave, well, for one thing, I'm a conservative. I will never be served by any single politician in New York State. You know, they just don't meet my particular... you know, politics, which is whatever. But I've been saying for years and years and years, I've told my husband a million times, and he always laughs at me, that I would move, if I moved, probably to Mexico, because you never, ever, ever hear those two words on the weather station. Ever.
You don't hear much about New Mexico.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't hear much about New Mexico.
No.
Drug cartels, that's about it.
Never on the weather station. No hurricanes, no tornadoes, no floods, no this, no that.
Yeah.
And I know it's hot, but, you know.
Well, Norma, good luck.
What keeps me from doing it, too, is the bugs. They got bugs we don't have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anywhere, any warm.
That's true.
Yeah, any warm climate's going to have the bugs that make a sound when they hit your windshield.
Yeah. We've had a lot of bugs this summer. Is that just me thinking that? We did this bee story, and I've seen more bees around this summer. I feel like I cannot go outside, and it's not just like, oh, Brian, maybe you have a bee nest like around here if you know. Like yeah. Anywhere. Like all throughout Western New York, other people's houses, out at a park, whatever. More bees around than I can ever remember. And then flies, too. Just like a lot of flying insects. I feel like I see more of them around than I have in years.
It's funny you say that about the bees, because I wouldn't have said that. But since you've said something, I can remember in just the last 2 weeks of bees getting into the car with me. And then discovering it as I'm pulling out of a place and opening every window to get the bee out of the car.
You see Joe on the road. He's just like flipping out behind the wheel.
Yeah, bee or spider in the car is going to be a problem. I'm noticing more bugs, but I think that's because I'm outside more. You know, I'm walking. I walk my son like an hour or two every day, and I'm, shooing the bugs away from the stroller. So maybe I'm just noticing it more. So I don't know. I have nothing to compare it
to. There is that part. Like, my three-year-old is scarred for life from bees. So every time there's a bee that he sees, I know about it too. Like maybe that has something to do with it, but I noticed them too. Like I do feel like there's been more.
Since you've said something, I'm just thinking all the incidents with bees this year, one flew into my shirt. I'm definitely noticing more bees than usual.
I think we need to mow more in May.
You think?
It worked too well.
Yeah, the bees
now,
are too happy.
Now they're over me. I was keeping my part. I was mowing.
They think they can control us now.
They're all over. You sound like next time you get pulled over, you should just pull a Tommy Boy. Bees, right? Start running out of the car.
Hey, I have not been pulled over since 2019. I think that leaf has turned. 2019, which we just got the final ticket from the judge. 2019 was the last time I've been pulled over, and I don't plan on changing that anytime soon.
A couple of people chiming in to say that it's yellow jackets that are out of control. Someone says yellow jackets out of control this summer, and someone else saying, I don't think you mean bees, I think you mean yellow jackets. That's a fault of mine. It's every yellow jacket, wasp, bee, they're all bees to me.
Bzz,
I'm sorry, I must have skipped that earth science day.
It's like, oh no, it's a ball python, not a python. Yeah, sorry, they're all pythons to me.
Yeah, don't, it's
let's.
It's not going to make much of a difference to me. But I'm glad that somebody else is noticing it, and it's not just me. A couple of other people chiming in, one saying that they've never had an office job, nor one they could work from home, was a tour guide, retail, now a live musician, and general contractor. I mean, how about that? That's like, everyone is doing work outside this summer. You know, you're going working at people's houses. You have to be there to do the job. Like, that you're probably looking at all this like, what's this work from home stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I always said I never wanted to work in a cubicle or behind a desk, right? And that's why
now
I went
you
to
do both.
I don't work in a cubicle.
Hang out with me sometimes.
I do hang out with you in your cubicle, yeah. But I don't have an assigned cubicle, and that's why I got into communications. But like you said, I technically the board's a desk, I guess. I'm there every day in a chair.
We'll go to Chuck in Hamburg. Chuck, you're on WBEN. Are you planning on moving out of here?
Yes, sir. I plan on moving out. I'm actually moving to Tennessee within the 6 to 8 months. I'm a tradesman. So even during the pandemic, I was always working. I was working 16, 18 hours a day. It's like it never happened to me. I felt like there was a zombie apocalypse. I was the only person on the road, and I was out there servicing, taking care of the general public and their heating needs and everything and cooling needs. And, unfortunately, the way things are going here now in New York, I'm leaving because of the way things are going. And where I'm going, I found past 4.5 years, as I told your screen caller, it's 30% cheaper down in Tennessee. Food prices, vehicles, everything. Everything is extremely cheaper down there.
If you stay off of Broadway in Nashville, yes.
Pardon?
I say if you stay off of Broadway in Nashville, yes, things are cheaper.
Yeah. There you go. But the thing is people move for certain reasons, economics, politics. They move because they want to be warmer, per se. They don't want the snow. One of the other reasons I'm moving is because of the snow situation. I've been in service, okay? I've been in places where it make your head spin, and you know what? I survived it. But these last snowstorms we've been having really drained my soul. And it drained it to the point where I can't put up with this no more. I don't have the resources anymore to get dug out, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm getting older, too. So, you know, I have to make the move for myself and my spouse and eventually, you know, be comfortable where I'm at. But again, I'm mainly moving because of the climate up here and the political climate for the most part and a little bit of the economics. I mean, your money goes a long way down south than it does up here. But that's my reasoning for going, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. The people that I've met down there for the past 4.5 years are absolutely friendly. They're not the misconception down south that people are backwards, and that's gone. I mean, people down there work together. They do things together. You know, they help each other out. You know, not that they don't do it up here, but it's more prevalent and more noticeable down there when you know, I mean, come on. A young man opens a door for me and says, "Have a nice day, sir." And it's like, "Holy cow, where did you come from?" You know, I mean, there's still some etiquette down there and politeness.
You don't have to tell me. I go down there for the Virginia Tech games, and you're right. Sometimes, as my dad says, everyone's friendly, but people know how to be phony. Here, we're just how we're feeling. You find it out.
Yeah,
there's something to that.
That is the one difference. But I, Chuck, I understand everything you're saying, especially the economy, no income tax in Tennessee. Tennessee is another place where I think you do see more and more people moving to. But this idea, maybe this is something we can get into another time. Oh, we'll have to. This idea of just, I'm going to move where my politics are. Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? So there's no more swing states. Yeah. Let's just all move to a state where we all vote alike. Like, there is something nice about having the clash of opinions and, hey, never knowing what can happen on election day.
Anymore. No one wants that anymore, it seems to be.
Unfortunately.
No, everyone, you got to find everyone who agrees with you. The one thing on the, I would be interested to see, you know, sector by sector, when you mentioned everything's cheaper, like what's your earning potential there as opposed to here? You know, if you're one of these people who work from home and you can live anywhere, like maybe it's the same. And then, well, of course, I would move to where everything is cheaper.
Yeah.
If you're doing something else, you know, you're working for, if you're a contractor or something like that, you're doing work, well, your work is going to have to cost less. So you're going to make less. And, you know, your buying power might be the same at the end of the day.
Could you imagine if you had a work from home job from New York City and it paid New York City prices and you moved to Erie, Pennsylvania? Oh, my gosh. How far your dollar would go?
It depends on what.
Well, and I'm just judging this off of the prices at bars and restaurants and stuff in Erie, Pennsylvania, because of how cheap drinks are.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the bar, you're good.
Yeah, sign me up for a good time.
Yeah,
I was going to make the joke. You know, Chuck is moving to Tennessee.
Their gas is way more expensive. Never used to be the case in Pennsylvania, but now
I know.
Ever since their new gas tax, you can't say that about Pennsylvania. You know, things subject to change, right? If that was your reason for moving down into a community in Pennsylvania, you're a little sorry right now.
Let me tell you. I mean, and this is from driving regularly down to Blacksburg, Virginia in the fall. It's not that different. Remember, it used to be you go through Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, and prices are all over the place. Brian, lately, I mean, prices are really around the same no matter where you are with gas. You're not finding those $1.50 cheaper a gallon, especially on that drive, and I know that's only a couple states. But it's interesting. It's always interesting why people are moving, what people are fearing, what keeps people out of a state. And we'll see. Before we get out of here, Brian, I do have to say today is the final day of operation for my alma mater, Madai College, or Madai University, as they go by now. It'll always be Madai College to me. How people say it will always be Rich Stadium. It'll always be Madai College to me. And I just want to say thanks for the memories. And it's sad to see you go.
RIP. I mean, it's sad. I don't really have any Madai memories. I should. My wife went to a grad school there. She has no thoughts on there. She doesn't. we are definitely like the move on people of we don't really hold a soft spot for the buildings or places.
But let me say this: it's more the people I know that work there. Professor Liu, who I've had on a few times, I feel bad for them. Right? I mean, people that made that school great again. I wouldn't be, and you know, people might be thankful if this happened. I wouldn't be at WBEN if it wasn't for the people there who got me the interview here. So I'm just very thankful for that school. And I it's not always a look back thing. I'm thankful for that school. And I do feel bad for the friends I have
Definitely
there.
Definitely stinks.
Yeah. Sure. I feel bad for the friends I have there that, you know, now have to look for another job.
Yeah. Well, Madai, it was a good run.
It was a great run. We'll see what happens with the campus.
See what happens next. We'll be back here again tomorrow for your Friday. Be Madison Beamer on WBEN.